of Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy, and Pastor Kyle Horner is back from vacation.
Woo!
You guys sporting a nice tan over there?
No. I wouldn't have had to actually go onto the beach to get a tan.
not a lot, but at least you're relaxed, yes. And you're refreshed.
And I'm about 20 pounds fatter after everything I
ate
down there.
Oh, stop. Let me tell you, that food was so delicious looking. Oh, my goodness.
Everything you were posting over there was...
Ay-yi-yi.
Even got me wanting to try new things, and that doesn't
matter. I know.
No, but, you know, I put mustard in some things.
I'm out.
See what I'm saying? Mayo and mustard in some things. You see what I'm saying, Remy?
Thanks. Appreciate the offer, though.
Yeah.
We got a pair of repeat guests this week. Actually, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz will make his third appearance on the show. And Pastor Carl Day is going to be back in studio for his second visit. Carl is a Dallas Cowboys fan, so this is going to be fun. And that's all coming up later in the show. I'll go at him.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, that's just bad parenting. That's all I'm just saying.
And he told us last time about it and how it came about. But, you know, he's not only a Cowboys fan, he's vocal about it.
Yeah, he's a Dak Prescott fan as well, which is,
we're going to have some conversations about that. And we're going to talk about, on this show, we're going to talk about dreams. We're going to talk about big dreams. God-sized dreams. I want to call them Trenta-sized dreams.
Oh, I love
Trenta. I know that two of you are partial to Starbucks.
And when I do
go there, I want the biggest size that I can get. Like, forget about the tall or the grande. Venti's not even big enough for me. I want to get
you
the Trenta.
You basically need a bucket.
That's a bucket.
Give me a bucket of coffee.
But the Trenta's the biggest size they have. That's what I want. But when it comes to dreaming big, God wants us to have big dreams. To have these Trenta-sized dreams. We should dream. I feel we should dream so big that only God can fulfill those dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I sense and I feel from talking to different people and the more I get into my walk and more people I encounter and more places I visit, sometimes I see a misperception that people think we as Christians are supposed to be content with having little. That we shouldn't have wealth or strive to have wealth. And if we do, we should just give everything to the poor. We should live like Mother Teresa. And I'm all about giving. I love to give. You all know that. And I actually prefer to give instead of receiving it at Christmas time and all this stuff. And whenever
I love it. Yes.
she's all about it.
Good receiver.
I'm totally happy buying and I'm all about it. But I also want to have so I can give more. And there's nothing wrong with me wanting to have more from working hard, using the gifts that God gave me to be able to provide well for my family and to do more with it for the community, for however I want to bless other people. I always say in my sign-off is make a difference, be a blessing. How do you want to bless other people? You can bless other people in so many different ways. And I hope that this show is a blessing to other people.
Yes.
And you don't necessarily always have to bless people through financial ways and material ways, but you can bless. But I would love to have that option.
Right, exactly.
So that's why I strive to have, to give, to do all that. And sometimes I don't dream dream big enough. Sometimes,
no, I sometimes have to help you. Dude, you need to dream bigger than this. What's going on?
Sometimes I feel like my dreams are not Trenta-sized, and I'm blessed to have a wife who pushes me in that direction when I sell myself short. There's nothing wrong with dreaming big and aiming high, but it is important to submit to God's will.
Absolutely.
And to seek his blessing in working out our plans and to make sure that our desires for the gain that we're seeking aren't selfish. So all this power and this energy and the creativity that is needed for us to fulfill our dreams, it's got to flow from Jesus.
Yes.
It's got to come from him.
Yeah, I think there are a couple foundational principles just in Christianity as a whole that sometimes go missing. You know, we have to first go back to the garden. You guys know I always go back to the garden because the garden is actually the picture of God's will for humanity. And, you know, God is a creative God. He's gigantic. He's a big dreamer. Not only does God make an earth and fill it with everything and a garden and fill it with everything, but he makes a cosmos, these billions of planets or billions of stars for just our enjoyment. So God is a creative big thinking, big dreaming God. Mm. And yes. He made us in His image.
Yeah.
So inside of all of us is this creativity,
right.
And the ability and capacity to dream big. Yeah. And the second foundational principle I think that gets lost is that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of expansion. Mm-hmm. It's a kingdom of increase from glory to glory to glory, the Bible says, right? So Jesus talks constantly about seeds that are planted and then come reap a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold. Increase, you know, the church started with 12. But it didn't stop at 12, right? It increased. So the very nature of humanity, that the provision of the kingdom, Jesus came to give us an abundant life. I do think those two things get muddled over a lot of times because I do think, Robert, I mean, what ends up happening is we downsize our dreams so that we make them accessible to what we can achieve.
Yeah.
Because trusting God is a very difficult thing to do.
Right.
It's an easy thing to do on paper. It's a very difficult thing to do when there's actually risk involved and things can be lost. Whether that's a reputation or whether that's finance or resource or time or hopes or dreams.
Yeah.
And when we try to, so what I see humanity do so often is marginalize, downsize those dreams to make them accessible through hard work, through diligence, through, you know, our own efforts, and add God in because we know we shouldn't leave God out.
Right.
But, you know, when Peter wants to walk on the water, if it wasn't for the word of God saying, come and walk, it never would have worked.
Is that fear of failure? You think when we downsize our dreams to make them sort of accessible? I think there's fear of failure in there because you don't want to dream so high that you fall short. And now you're like, oh, yeah, I can attain this. But you're not fully trusting in God to be able to fulfill that big one.
Yeah, that's actually I think, Rob, it manifests as fear. But what it actually gets down to is a trust issue. And every trust issue is based out of a love issue.
Right.
And so the deeper that I have love for God, the more that I want His dreams in my life to be expanded, the more that I want, that I can trust Him to do it. So when Jake, my son, was little, he was afraid of the pool, afraid of swimming, as a lot of little kids are. And I remember
some big people.
Yeah,
as well.
I won't say anything.
But here, I can't swim.
So, you know, how did I teach him? Did I just throw him in the pool and say, you better learn to swim? No, I actually got in the pool and he would stand on the deck and I'd say, come on, jump to me. I'll catch you. Jump to me. I'll catch you. And he knew I loved him. And because he knew I loved him, he would be willing to jump into my arms. Mm-hmm. And I'd catch him and swirl him around the water and help him to get wet. And then he would laugh. And then we'd do it again. And I think when we don't have that kind of relationship with our daddy, our father, we're a lot less likely to even put ourselves in a position where we're standing on the deck of the pool to even be willing to have an opportunity to jump.
See, I want to go back to what you were saying, Pastor Kyle, with the seeds from the garden. Everything God created, everything is meant for
increase.
To success.
Absolutely right.
So it's not meant for failure. It's not, you don't plant a seed and you have to pray about, I really hope this succeeds and become a tree. It becomes a tree.
Yes.
So, because God created it for success.
For
he created it for increase.
Yep.
So the thing, I want to go back to my life for a second. When I was little, all I did when I was young was daydream. So while other kids were just playing with dolls and Barbies or whatever, all I did was just sit there and daydreams.
Wow.
I just daydream after daydream after daydream. And I would just imagine my life, how it's going to be, how many kids I'm going to have, what my husband's going to look like. I would write a list down.
Did
everything.
I fulfill those dreams?
Yes, honey. Yes, you did.
I mean,
so, stay focused.
It's good to know, bro. It's good to know.
I want to make sure.
I was just making sure.
No,
I have to have a conversation after this. So this is good.
We're not going
to
talk about big-sized dreams and say, well, I fell short here in the husband department.
No, I was getting there, you know. Everything that I did and they dreamed of, God actually fulfilled in the most amazing possible way. It was just amazing how he did it. Everything I daydreamed, everything I envisioned, everything he gave me in my imagination, because I have a really meticulous imagination. Like, it's so weird. I can close my eyes and literally just see the finest details in something.
I love that.
So because of that, I can just write things down. I can decorate things. I can do things. I can envision my life for the next, like, I don't know, 10, 20 years with, like, meticulous imagination. It's so weird, but God really fulfilled all these dreams for me this far.
Yeah.
And at a young age, I didn't know that that's kind of like a vision board or whatever they call them nowadays. I had no idea, but that was a seed. And I believe that God uses your imagination as an access point.
Yes.
To actually tell you something about your future and to tell you, hey, this is how you can dream. This is how you can actually see your life going. Because if we did not use our imagination, or if it was just something that's kind of, oh, it's cool, I can imagine things.
Correct. He created you with the creativity for imagination.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
What's the point of imagination if you're not going to use it correctly? He actually put it in you so you can see, or you can plan ahead with him. And you can say, okay, I can do this, this, and that with my imagination. And this is the plan that God has for me.
Yeah, Rami, you're so right, because the imagination is not wrong.
No.
Imagination, it depends on who's driving that imagination,
right?
So we know that fantasies can be driven by the wrong place of imagination, whether it's from our own selfishness or our own brokenness.
Yeah.
But when God gets involved, and I think that's the difference, really, when you get down to it, between a dream and a vision. We always say a dream hopes to, a vision plans to.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
Yeah, a dream hopes to, but hopes a vision to. Plans to.
Right.
So, you know, the truth is, a lot of people have, quote, dreams, and they're just, it's just a hope. I hope that my life gets there, but they're not lining their life up to actually become that or live that out. And that happens in Christianity a lot because we're expecting God to do what actually for us, what we should be doing with him.
Yeah.
And those two things are very different. So we're like, you know, God should give me money. God should provide for me. But Deuteronomy 8:18 says, no, God has given me the ability to create wealth. My God will always provide, because that's who he is. He is Yahweh Yireh. He is Jehovah Jireh, right? He is he is provision itself. But when we want to see the multiplication of that, no, God gave me the ability to produce wealth. Those two, that's the difference between a dream. Well, I hope God, you know, like we're dealing with God like in a lottery or a spiritual ATM. I just hope I can push the right buttons and he gives me the money.
Yeah.
Or, no.
I want to withdraw this much today from God.
Right. Or I say, no, I have a vision and God has godly word. And Remy, that's where we go back to the seed. God's word is the seed that produces. And the beautiful thing about every seed is that inside an apple seed is not another apple.
No,
it's an orchard.
It's a whole orchard. Yeah.
It's an orchard. Yeah. And we're still trying to say, I know what God's word says, but I want to craft my dreams are this.
Yeah.
And we're just missing it, I think, at so many levels.
I you know what I don't like? When people say, no, I'm not going to move right now. I'm just waiting on God to tell me something and waiting on his will for my life. I'm here to tell you that you have to move for him to tell you what's the next move, because I made. So even if he says, even if you're
just going to sit here and wait.
I'm serious. There's a lot of people that I know that go, no, I'm just going to wait on God to tell me what my next move is. I'm sorry, but he's not going to tell you anytime soon until you move.
Well, until you've already done what he's told you to do. Remy, it's so funny. When I was a kid, and I'm sure you guys played it too, red light, green light, right? So red light, green light. You weren't allowed to move until someone said green light, right? And I think a lot of times as people of faith, we live in a red light world. We're so waiting for God to say go. But I think his last commandment was go. Right? So go. So I'm fairly sure
there's
already a green light.
There's an action. It has to do with action.
If God's always, I feel he's always got something bigger and better for us if we walk with him.
Yeah.
If we produce that action, but if we're walking with him and walking toward what he loves, not walking toward what we love or what we want. And sometimes that takes. And that means we're going to have to walk away from what we think we love. And it doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not talking about a person. It could be what we love to do, what we love to have, what we love to work as. And when we do that, when we walk away from what we think we love towards what God has for us, towards what he loves, we'll find out what we will love, he loves, that we're going to love more than what we thought we loved.
I think, Rob, it's a matter of, it's not even always walking away from it. It's just being willing to surrender it, right? Because Jesus didn't walk away from the cross. Yeah. He just surrendered to it. And I think a lot of times we have this, I know for me, when I was younger, you know, people always said over me, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to be a pastor. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be a pastor, right?
As a young kid?
Yeah, as a young kid. And I had that kind of prophesied over my life a lot. And I was like, there's no way, because in my mind, it was like, I know if I do that, God's going to make me go to Africa, live in some mud hut, right? No, right. But that's what you think. You're like, I'm not doing that because I want to play professional football. Mm-hmm. I have other dreams.
Yeah.
But God had a different vision. Mm-hmm. And when I actually got down to submitting to his will for my life, man, that I actually saw how small my dreams really were.
Right. Because he changes the desires of our heart.
The moment I saw that, I saw being pastor differently. I saw from his perspective, I saw the eternal value attached to it. And I didn't have to change my heart. In the moment of surrender, he changed my heart. Right. And that's why sometimes, and I love what Remy said too, sometimes we're waiting for our hearts to change before we take a step.
Mm. Yeah.
And yet the Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be.
Right.
So sometimes what we need to do in order to make a heart change is put our treasure somewhere that it hasn't been before.
Yeah, that thing is with the plans and all that good stuff. It's fantastic. And people always, I fell short with the whole like vision boards and the dreams and all that. Because I'm like, oh, is this really lining up with God? You have to move and you have to make a plan and you have to have a vision for your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line end of the story. You have to do that for your life. Because if not, you're aimlessly walking around, wandering the streets and running in circles.
So the Bible says.
God wants you to have a plan. He wants you to have a vision for your life. Now, if that aligns with him, you will know once you take steps. You will get to know that because my life, what I plan for my life, I'm telling you right now, God got nothing to do what I dreamed, but it kind of have hints of what I dreamed. You know what I mean? So I had a vision, I had a plan, and I moved.
Yes.
And I had no idea that I was going to end up here talking with you guys on radio. Mm-hmm. Cool? It's great. It's a great provision for what I dreamed. But at the same time, I had to move. So I started as a caseworker, right? I started with social work. It has nothing to do with radio, but I had a plan. The plan did not include radio, but here we are.
Absolutely.
So we just moved.
Right. Yep.
So God can take you from one thing to the next, but you have to just make the transition, and he will just show you different things, and he will take you from one place to the next to get you to your destination. Yeah. Because there's so many detours.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all the same destination.
As you remember, you surrender.
We always say it's easier to adjust a moving car than it is a parked one.
Right.
Mm. Right. And so that's where this is. And I think when you look at the Bible historically, first of all, Remy, you're so right. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint.
Exactly.
So they do whatever they want to do. Yeah. So therefore, if you have vision, you're willing to wear the restraint of that vision.
Mm-hmm. I just love how it comes to your head.
Let me tell you.
There's a lot of years in there.
You mention something, the verse pops in your head, and there it
comes. He can cook up a sermon in church and cook up a meal in the kitchen.
Man.
That is so ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
I got my verses like written down in front of me. She says something, you pop up right there.
No, I mean, there's a lot of years. I mean, you do it with statistics, I'm out. I'm out. But I think, you know, when we get back to that concept of you know, understanding, walking in your vision, I think we're so afraid to make a mistake. And yet when you look at the Bible, some of the greatest breakthroughs have come when God corrected mistakes.
Yes.
It's not out of punishment, right? Jonah decides to go to, he's going, right, Tarshish, somewhere he's not, by the way, which means the thing that seems right to him. In his mind, it seemed right to him. And yet God in his sovereignty didn't kill Jonah. He didn't throw him into hell. Mm-hmm. He said, you know what? You're going the wrong way. I'm going to make a course adjustment in your life.
Yeah.
And so the greatest victory in Jonah's life was after that moment.
Yeah.
And I think you keep going back time and time again. Joseph has a dream, right? A God dream.
Talk about dreamers.
Come on, right?
Right?
But and look at the course that he had to take to get to that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times, how many of us would have aborted that God dream too early because the circumstances didn't line up with the way that we see life? Mm. Man, if this was God, I wouldn't have been sold into slavery. If this was God, my family wouldn't have done what they did. If this was God, I wouldn't have been falsely accused. If this was God, my friends who I helped in jail would have remembered me when I got out. If this was God, and we abort those dreams. No. If God is in it, stay in it. If it's his word, keep walking that thing out because he will do the course corrections.
I want to also get into this idea of being content with living in lack.
Oh,
and
I love that.
And there's this perception that as Christians, we should do things for the kingdom, to spread the gospel, to spread the message, to spread the word, and we should sacrifice our time and do it for free. And our talent and our time and the importance of spreading the word, well, the importance takes precedence over that, because, hey, you're getting this opportunity to go out there and spread the word, and, oh, okay, and that's awesome, and it's wonderful, and, you know, I'm all about that, and this show is all about that, but I got to give you credit for teaching me that you have value to your worth.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to ask for more.
Yes.
Because sometimes...
a workman is worth his wage.
Sometimes people want to lowball you, and they don't recognize the value of your time and
correct.
The value of your sacrifice. And I feel like there are times where in Christianity, people want to make you feel uncomfortable by wanting more, because your first priority should be, hey, yeah, you're getting this opportunity.
Look, everybody should sacrifice for the kingdom, but no one in the kingdom has the right to choose your sacrifice for you.
Mm.
And that's what ends up happening. People will say, yeah, but you should do this. Yeah, but you, no, I'm going to sacrifice. And there are a lot of, look, there
people
are,
don't know what you're sacrificing.
That, Rob, there are things, you know, that all of us do that no one will ever know about,
yeah,
except for the King. And those are the things that should be, but no one has the right to choose my sacrifice for me. I have the right. I should sacrifice,
yeah,
but it's mine. So David says, I will not give to God something that hasn't cost me something first. Nope, there's a cost in this, but the Bible also says, a workman is worth his wage. And I want to just push on something you said, which I love. You know, the truth is, when we talk about poverty being this,
yeah,
mark of spiritual maturity, I think that we've given into the lie of the enemy. Because one of the greatest lies that the enemy has ever given
preach
to the
that,
church oh. is that money has no spiritual purpose. And the moment that we believe that money has no spiritual purpose, then we are free from the responsibility of stewarding it well.
Right.
And yet, look, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 10:19, money is the answer for everything.
Yeah.
You know, people say we should feed the hungry. Yep. Do you know how you do that? You need money. You know, we run TKC truck, right? We run the Kingdom Come food truck. Matter of fact, we're going out to, I'm leaving soon to go out to Fargo. We're doing it out in North Dakota,
yeah,
which is exciting.
That's
and
awesome.
All that kind of stuff. And everyone's like, oh, it's so great. The food is free. Yeah, but it's not free. Someone's paying for
somebody
it, right?
Pays
yeah.
for it.
So
exactly.
It's great, but
yeah,
you know, how do you feed the hungry? It takes money. How do you educate the uneducated? It takes money. How do you clothe people? How do you
takes money.
How do
we, exactly.
So everything takes money.
Mm-hmm.
But when the church has believed that lack of money or that money has no spiritual purpose, then we actually don't. We're free from the responsibility of stewarding it well. And it loses what the kingdom potential. Every dollar has kingdom potential attached to it. Every dollar has kingdom potential attached to it.
It's how you steward that.
It's how you steward it.
Proverbs 28:27, those who give to the poor will lack nothing.
Yes.
But those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. And like you said so well, you need to have to give. It takes money
to
give. Up next, we're going to hear from Carson Wentz. This is Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Kyle Horner, and Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find all of our previous shows and listen anytime at your convenience. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. You could sign up for our weekly email list on our website and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. I also post my speaking appearances on social media. I'll let you know when I'm going to be doing sports shows on 97.5 The Fanatic 2 as well. You could follow me at Rob Motti on Twitter. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Pastor Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. Carson Wentz is entering his fourth season as the starting quarterback. the franchise quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He just signed a 4-year, $128 million extension. Full disclosure, we know Carson very well. Pastor Kyle, you're very close with him. His Audience of One Foundation partnered with your church, Connect Church, to launch Thy Kingdom Crumb Food Truck, which made its way to North Dakota this week for the AO1 charity softball game featuring Carson's former Bison teammates. I chatted with Carson before the game in Philly, when it featured the Eagles players, offense versus defense. The interview is brought to you by Restelli Foods Group and their new Butcher Shop Craft Burgers. They are the only frozen burgers offering convenience with the superior taste and quality of Butcher Shop beef, turkey, and seafood. Get yours at your local Acme supermarket or any Restelli location. Here is my interview with Carson Wentz. Carson, we're here for the second annual softball game. Before we get into that and everything else you're doing, your mission at the AO1 Foundation is to demonstrate God's love for his people. Yeah. What does that mean to you to be able to do that?
Yeah, first of all, we love doing that. You know, we love being a blessing to others. I realize I've been blessed, and so to be able to just give back means a lot. And just, we do it through different ways. You know, we do it through a food truck here in the city that goes around and just gives out free food, you know, and it's pretty, no strings attached, give out free food, give out, you know, just love on people and share Jesus with people. And then, you know, we have an outdoor ministry in the Midwest where, you know, kind of the same thing. We give them a physical opportunity to go on hunting trips, fishing trips, enjoy the outdoors. Some of these kids that have overcome some serious life-threatening illnesses and things. And then spiritually, we help them grow as well. And then the same thing in Haiti. You know, we got a sports complex being built every day. We're seeing progress now. And that's exciting. And just knowing what sports has done for me in my life and how it's changed me both as an athlete, but also as an individual, as a man, and a man of God. You know, that's the whole mission behind that. So it's just really cool, some things that I'm really passionate about, and to be able to give back in, you know, the Midwest, here in Philly, and then overseas in Haiti, it just means a lot.
Let's talk about each one of those ministries individually for a second. The food truck by Kingdom Crumb, which is, as you and I both know, you started with Pastor Kyle in the Connect Church.
Yep.
It's not just giving food to people, not people who are in need, but all people who are anywhere, any kind of like environment, whether they're working, whoever it is. But really, the mission is being able to spread that gospel. And then when Kyle comes back and tells me how many people accepted Christ, like when you hear that, like, you know, you're feeding people, but X amount of people are coming to Christ through this truck. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it's amazing. You know, I know the Bible tells us to go and just spread the word to all nations. And so to do that here in Philly and to physically provide meals to, you know, we say, trying to redefine what need in being in need means. And we believe everyone's in need of feeling loved, feeling like they belong, and finding the love of the Father, you know. And so just to be able to provide a physical need in that regard and providing the food, but also the spiritual connection with it, that's ultimately what it's all about. And so hearing those stories, seeing it in action, has been pretty cool.
And now you got an ice cream truck that's going to be unveiled and it's going to be coming out soon.
Yep.
What went behind that thought? Like, hey, we do the food. Yeah. Let's give them some ice cream in the summer.
Well, we got an amazing gift donated to us of the ice cream truck. So we're trying to capitalize on that and utilize that well. And so that's going to be rolling out here in the summer. It'll kind of help the prep, you know, not a full meal, just serving ice cream and different things so we can pop up, you know, hopefully on shorter notice and do some different things. So that'll also be a really cool blessing to just everyone loves a little ice cream around here. So that'll be fun.
No doubt. Now, Camp Conquerors is another part of the ministries. Yep. And I know Landon, one of the boys that you met, who's going through really a tough time right now, is going to throw out the first pitch here tonight. Tell us a little bit about what you do through Camp Conquerors and to be able to meet a kid like that and maybe just encourage him a little bit.
Yeah, camp has been really cool. Last summer was the first time we did it. We got another, you know, second annual coming up this summer. And it's just an opportunity to, you know, get a lot of similar kids that have gone through just some very unfortunate times growing up, whether that's, you know, childhood illnesses, cancers, those types of things that have just had to overcome. That's why we call it Camp Conquerors, because they're conquering what they're either A, going through or have already gone through. And you get all those same type of kids together and just celebrate them. You know, celebrate them, give them an amazing opportunity in the outdoors, enjoy the outdoors for a couple days, and also get mentored by some amazing individuals that, you know, teach them the Bible and get them into God's Word and connect them spiritually as well. It just breaks down so many walls for those kids and allows them to feel celebrated as well. And so being that they get to do it together, that they've gone through similar life circumstances, it's just really cool to see them kind of open up and be themselves and have fun doing it. So that's been quite the blessing to see in action.
And we talked quite a bit, you and I, about going to Haiti twice now, building a field out there.
Yep.
You mentioned there's been some progress.
Yeah.
What's that like? How much progress are you making?
Yeah, yeah.
When can we see that that field and for all those kids?
Yeah, we're hoping to see, the first kind of step of it was a multi-purpose building. So they're actually laying the sport court now as we speak. It's got a locker room, so that for basketball court, and they're now digging up for the turf field, the FIFA full-size FIFA turf field as well. And so it's been a bit of a slower process, but that's just kind of how things go in that country. But, you know, we've been diligently really attacking that one and, helping fund those projects, and it's been really cool. So we can't wait. We can't wait till those things are finally in place so we can start doing some ministry there, start getting some kids out on the fields, seeing something new, seeing a turf field, which is going to blow their minds.
Yeah.
Some simple things that we take for granted that they just don't have access to. So we're excited for that.
All right, let's talk about this softball game, because listen, it's a beautiful day.
It is.
Your teammates, man, they could be on a beach somewhere, they could be but here they are. They're here to support you, to support your mission. It's got to feel great that these guys are giving of their time to be able to get on board. And what's that mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot. It means a lot. I mean, like you said, they could be, you know, it's the weekend now. We just got done with practice. They could be going out doing whatever. But they're gonna show up. And I think the cool thing is they're going to have a blast. You know, and that's I think, what really gets the fans into it as well, because they're having fun playing a game that they don't normally play, being like little kids again out here, having a blast. But for them to show up and support me, support this event, it really goes a long way. It means a ton to me.
All right, I got to ask you a football question. We hear all about how good you've looked in OTAs, and I know you're feeling better.
Yeah.
You look great physically. You leaned out, as we were talking about a little bit earlier. DeSean Jackson, man, that guy, we know him from a few years back here in Philly. He's still got some speed. What's that connection been like?
It's been fun. Never really playing with a guy quite on that caliber of speed. And he can roll. He hasn't lost a step at all. And so just getting him out there in OTAs, finally going against the defense and everything. And, he's extremely talented. Extremely talented and a great guy. Great locker room guy so far. And it's been fun getting to know him personally as well and just building that chemistry both on and off the field. And I think he'll, add a lot of help to our offense and be a dynamic playmaker this year.
Last one for you. This is really only your second off-season healthy.
Yeah.
Preparing as the starter. Last year you were going through the rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Your rookie year, you weren't expected to be the starter till the week before the season. How different is that for you? How much of a benefit can it be?
Yeah, it's a huge benefit. You know, I mean, unfortunately, injuries happen, things happen, so sometimes you can't be out there, but any chance I can be out there, I want to be. And I want to be, attacking it full on and start building this chemistry with these guys, start talking, hey, this is how I see things, this is what are you seeing here? And just a lot of that stuff goes kind of unseen until it comes out in middle of week eight. Things that we're talking about now come out in the middle of the season like that. And so building that chemistry and building that foundation this time of year is critically important, and it's been fun so far.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
That was Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, brought to you by Restelli Foods Group and their new Butcher Shop Craft Burgers. I hosted Carson's AO1 Philly Gala in April. That event raised over $135,000 for Thy Kingdom Crumb. There's also an ice cream truck coming soon, right, Pastor Kyle?
Yes, sir.
That's coming soon. In May, Carson held his second annual AO1 charity softball game at Citizens Bank Park. It was a fun night watching the Eagles play against each other, offense versus defense. That raised $500,000. Last year, Carson announced that AO1's building a field in Haiti. All of these things to tell you, as we're talking about big dreams today, it's all possible because Carson had big dreams. You,
right.
Pastor Kyle, you had big dreams to build a food truck.
Yeah.
And when you think of the magnitude of what he's able to do, it starts with him dreaming so big that only God can fulfill these dreams. Because these are humongous dreams, and they're being fulfilled. And he had this vision, and you had this vision but only God can fulfill those.
Yeah, I love it because I think, you know, the Bible says when you are faithful with a little, he'll give you more. And someone like Carson has been faithful all the way around with his testimony, with his finances, with his time, you know, his mercy, his grace, his love of people. And so that's what ends up happening. Sometimes I think we wait for the big. And then, you know, people always say, I'll give when I win the lottery. No, if you can't be faithful with $10, you'll never
That's
be faithful with 10 million. So, you know, Carson's been faithful along the way because at the core of who he is Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and then everything else will be added to you. And that's what people see and they don't quite understand. They just think he's trying to be charitable or good or kind. Nope. Who he is as a man is so centered in his love for Jesus, he's going to seek him first in everything he does, A1, audience of one, and then everything else follows.
I love it. I love big dreams. I'm a big dreamer, you guys. I love big dreams. And from just a parent perspective, we have big dreams for our kids. So I can't imagine what God has for us. Me, I have twin girls, and all I do all day long is just envision their future and how bright is going to be and what they're going to do and what they're going to be good at. And then I look at them and I say that to them and they're like, Mommy, we just want to play in a pool. Mommy, we just want to play with toys. And that is okay. That doesn't mean that they drifted away or that they're messing up or anything. It just means that they're walking their own path. And that's okay. Right. That's all that is to that. They're not messing up. They're not drifting or not doing anything wrong, but they're just doing their own thing. But me as a mom, I'm going to always guide them, always give them advice, always tell them, hey, you know, you're going this way. Let's go back that way.
Yep.
So that's me as a mom. I can't imagine what God has for us and for all his children. He just wants us to dream big and he wants us to trust him. He wants us to just go to him and say, hey, am I going in the right direction? That's all he wants us to do. To not let go of his hand.
Yes.
We are, no matter how long you've been walking with him, we are still young to him in our walk. We don't know nothing. Like, I mean, Pastor Carl, you've probably been walking him for a long time. Like, way longer than me. And
I still know nothing. I'm totally 100% with you.
But still, like, you still need him.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing.
And you can't say twin girls without saying their names.
Oh, Alexia and Melina, because they get mad at me for not mentioning their names.
They actually, we were driving to church the other day, and our show was on the radio, and it was played on an earlier time, and they're listening, and we're like 4, 5, 6 minutes in. They said, this is great, Mommy and Daddy. How come you haven't talked about us?
Yeah, so every single show, we have to mention their names.
There you go.
So people don't get mad at us, Alexia,
Melina, Jake, give Jake a shout out. Yeah, there you go, Jake.
Yeah.
Your son who does a phenomenal job on the worship team Connect Church. Up next, we're going to talk to Pastor Carl Day on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Body, Pastor Kyle, and Remy. We just heard from Carson Wentz. Now we bring in a Cowboys fan, but he's the pastor.
It's bad timing right now. I'm just saying.
It's also Culture Changing Christians Worship Center. You're in North Philly.
Yes, sir.
You're in Montclair, New Jersey. You're also the president and founder of the nonprofit outreach organization Culture Changing Christians. And before we get into Dak versus Carson, Pastor Carl Day is here. Glad to have you. Thank you for being here with us once again. You do a ton of real work in the community. Incredible work on the streets. We talked, you and I talked last week about what you have coming up. Tell everyone about it and maybe how they can get involved too as well.
Man, Rob, thank you, brother. It's a pleasure and always, I'm always willing to talk with you. But we got something coming up this summer. We're going to launch in July called From Castoffs to Conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know that the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors, you know, in Christ. So,
yes.
Oftentimes in these inner city communities, many people, don't even realize it. And honestly, in any demographic that we believe that people do feel like they're castoffs. And a castoff is anyone that feels, no longer wanted, discarded, disqualified, or pretty much just left out there to dry. So, and we feel like in various ways that there are many youth out here, there are many men out here, women as well, who feel cast off. A lot of people feel like they've been cast off or cast out by the church, you know,
yeah.
And we're out here to kind of reach those cast offs when we want to take them from where they are, and restore them and do everything that we can to pour into them so that they can ultimately become conquerors and conquer life. That's kind of like what we'll be doing. It's going to be a life on life program in which we'll be doing 8 weeks throughout the summer, working with inner city teens, but also men from the inner city, and also men in college as well. Our two main focuses is preparation, preparing these kids for life, and also showing them, you know, how they can conquer life, but also prevention. So we'll have credible people who will once engage in street activity and whatnot to really help prevent these youth from making the same mistakes that they've made. So with that, you know, like I said, really, really comprehensive program that's going to entail a lot of stuff holistically, everything from entrepreneurship, talking economics, talking conflict resolution, also talking about the dangers of sex, sex before marriage and everything else. Because, you know, we'll have some brothers in there.
That's some real talk. Yeah, that's real conversation. Yeah.
Stuff that we really need to talk about.
That's going to be tough. Now, it starts next week.
Yes, sir. July 1st.
July 1st. So it starts on July 1st. And people can still, like, you can still send your kids to this. They can still sign up for this.
Yes, sir. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from noon to 4, we'll be providing light refreshments, snacks, everything else. And it's right at our hub in North Philly, 2233 West Allegheny Avenue. People can definitely, you know, young men and teens can come through. One of the reasons why we've done this, is because we've realized, especially the work that we've done, with our faith coalition with the Office of Violence Prevention, a lot of the violence that takes place when you walk on any, corner in the inner city of Philadelphia, you'll see the age range from, unfortunately, from 14 to 35.
Absolutely. Wow.
You know, you'll see guys that are selling what they're selling at 30 something, and you'll see the kids at 14 selling what they're selling. So we want to, you know, too often we see people, you know, segregated, you know, and say, hey, we got to do young adult ministry and then we got to do teen ministry. Mm. When it's like, no, these two demographics are out here doing a lot of the wrong together. We need to put them all in one space.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same realities affect them both. You know, you got teens who are getting extensively long prison sentences for some of the stuff they're doing. You have grown men who are doing the same thing. So, you know,
It's interesting because you actually have at times more mentorship going on the streets than in the church. So, you know, the people who are doing street life, they understand how to bring younger men and women into that life. They understand how to raise them up in that life. And that is why there's 34 and 14 year olds standing on the same block. And it's what you just talked about in the churches is a powerful thing because so often it's so separated. You know, we have men's ministry and youth ministry and kids ministry. And, and, you know, I think one of the things that's missing so much in the house of God is older men, mature men of God, being willing to disciple younger men of God and really bring them up into that because that's what's missing.
Man. Pastor, you just said it. I mean, honestly, they're on the street corners doing what we're supposed to do.
They're
building their own disciples.
They're building their own kingdom, right? Absolutely right. That's exactly right. And those disciples are loyal to them to the nth degree, bro. Come on, to the death. Exactly right.
They are. Now, the ages for the program that you have coming up, what ages can sign up and who can come?
Literally 13 through 35.
13 through 35.
Like literally that range is there. And you know, one thing that I've encountered a lot of mothers with, and I've heard a lot of responses from them is that their children lack the presence of a father figure, or an older brother. So therefore, we want you to bring your teen. You know, if you can't get through to them, trust me, we're going to have some brothers who can get through to them.
That's right.
They can
That's
relate
right.
to. And I mean, from
that's hard for a single mom to get through to a teenage boy or even like a 16-year-old boy. I mean, how do you try and get through to them when they reach that point where maybe you're 13, you're 14, you think you know the world.
Mm-hmm.
You think you have it conquered, and your mom can't get through to you like a dad would, but you never had a father figure.
Yeah.
How do you try to break down that wall?
I mean, one of the things I think that with that, I think the disconnect is that a 13-year-old, not only does a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, even 16-year-old think that they just know it all.
Yeah.
They more so don't think that their mother can relate to where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So like that's the importance of like when you have men who are not far removed from where they are. So you have men that are like 25 who they may look up to and kind of get influenced by.
Yes.
Can really speak to that reality and say, listen, yo, I've done 4 years in the state penitentiary. You don't want to do what I did, you know? And I think that when you slap these kids with reality, that's when they start to see, you know, they see people's bullet wounds and scars and whatnot, you know, and this is what they're going to see. They're going to see reality. They're going to see people who have overcome the odds, who have conquered life. And, you know, even my own story as well and certain experiences I've had, but, they're going to hear this stuff firsthand and see that this is not a world you really want to enter in. And right. you're young enough to still turn your life around, change the narrative,
yes.
you know, and do what you need to do. So, like, those are a lot of things that we're going to focus on. And also in July, you know, so for the first 30 teams that we have registered,
the summer camp,
they're going to go away okay. to summer camp July 21st to the 26th, all expenses paid. They'll be out there for a week, getting out of the hood.
It's a sports camp too, right? It's a sports camp. So what are they playing?
Going to be a little bit of every, all kinds of sports. They're going to be playing there, man. Soccer, nice. Baseball. They're going to do some basketball stuff. Also, they're going to be doing swimming, a little bit of everything out there. And it's going to be competitive, too. Like, they're competitive.
Yeah, you got to have. Yeah, you got to make it competitive, right? Yeah. You know what's interesting, I think, Carl, that I think you've seen it so often, is in the inner city so often, there's a buy-in to hopelessness. Mm-hmm. And so... If I don't believe I'm actually going to make 21 or 25, what does it really matter? Yep. Wow. And when they don't have fathers who actually have made it beyond that and who can give them that life advice beyond that, and who can actually show them hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're bringing when you talked about reframing the narrative. And I think that's, you know, we need to reframe the narrative. That's how you change society, reframe a narrative.
Yep.
And so if you can reframe it to give them some sense of hope, and we were talking earlier about consistency, making sure that this isn't a 1 week. We take them to have a great encounter, a great moment, a great experience.
Yeah.
But no, we're going to do life with you.
Yeah.
And because, come on, the Bible says if one man walks alone and he falls,
who's
there to pick him up, right? Yeah. Two, the work of two is greater than one. And I think if we can give them that consistency over time, it won't be the immediate change. It'll be the reframing of an entire narrative in a community.
Mm.
And we know that it requires men to reframe a narrative in a community.
Amen to that. Pastor Carl, before we beat you up a little bit over Dak and Carson and your Cowboys fandom, if anybody wants to get involved, if they want to help, how can they do it? How can they reach out? Maybe some volunteers, anything. What should they do? Where should they go?
They certainly can contact us via our website, that's cccworshipcenter.org. They can, you know, hit the contact us button there. They can also email us. You can email us culturechangingchristians@gmail.com, you know, and we'll certainly respond with any requests. We're certainly looking for as many people, you know, to be a part of this. We're really trying to recreate that village. And as Pastor said earlier, you know, we want to show consistency, but we want to do so as the church. Because, you know, when we start talking about, you know, really bringing hope back, Jesus right. Christ is that hope. So once they see consistency from the church, they can then again trust us. And they can start to really see the power of God working in their lives. So definitely feel free to reach out. Feel free to connect with us. And, yeah, we're ready.
All right, man. We got to do this because in case anybody didn't hear the first time we had you on, how did you become a Cowboy fan?
Bad parenting. That's
well, you know, honestly, you know, I became a Cowboys fan because my cousin and stepfather were, one was an Eagles fan, one was a diehard Niners fan, and here it was. I was young, and they both hated Dallas, and I'm like, man, Dallas is my team.
So they're contrarian.
Yeah, they both hated
Dallas.
Yeah, there we go. And you know, so.
So this is what, in the 90s?
Yeah, no, this was 90, actually. This was 90. 90. Yeah, this
okay.
was 90. So 1990. It wasn't really good, but they just hated them.
Okay.
And, you know. I took them on.
Well, you took them on at a good time because then you started to win some rings.
I mean, well, yeah. I might have gave him favor.
Oh!
That's what it is.
All right, so now we see Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott both drafted in the same year. Carson just recently signed a four-year, $128 million contract. So you know Jerry Jones got to step up and pay Dak. They're drafted in the same year. Dak is 30, he's never been hurt. He's played every game. He's taken his team to two division titles. 32-16, 1-2 in the playoffs. He's 32-16 in the regular season. Carson, 23-17. So we got, you know, Jay-Z once said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, right?
Numbers don't.
But stats don't always tell the whole story, right? So here we got, Dak's got better win percentage, higher rating, 96-92. Carson's got more touchdowns, 70-67 in eight less games, eight fewer games. He's got more touchdowns. Carson's thrown more interceptions, 28-25. Completion percentage, Dak's at 66, Carson's at 64. I mean, if you go by Jay-Z, numbers don't lie. But the stats don't tell you that Dak's got Zeke Elliott, one of the best running backs in the game. So I just want to ask you, from the eye test, when you see these two men play, if you had to win a Super Bowl game, who do you want out there under center?
I'm taking four. I'm taking a guy who has the most comeback victories in the NFL, you know, since he's been in the league, game-winning drives. You know, I'm going to take the guy who's ice cold, man, like when it comes down to it. You know what I'm saying? The same guy beat the Eagles twice in overtime.
Man, nice to be on the first. It's nice when you play action fake and the defense can bite because the running back is Hall of Fame potential.
Oh, man.
You can actually play action fake. Carson goes to play action fake. Ain't nobody biting for that. So, who's he giving a ball to? Wendell Smallwood?
So Kent, if we'll play that game, right? If we'll play that game, let us also not forget that number four was top three in the NFL last year in sacks. You know, he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks last year, which tells you his offensive line wasn't really good.
Or
you
that he's holding on to the ball too long.
There you go. As a former quarterback, you got to get rid of that.
Or that he's holding on
to
the ball too long because he was so used to picking one receiver and that receiver being able, look, he had phenomenal offensive line his first 2 years, and he had phenomenal wide receivers.
And then he got Amari Cooper.
He had Des Bryant. He had Jason Witten, who was probably the best tight end.
And now he's got him again.
Ever. I'm just saying. It's just a thought.
Look. So can we revisit that? So his second season, Tyron Smith missed games. The same time Zeke had the suspension, and that's when everything would complete.
No, I agree.
How
with
they
that.
Do that each other?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How did he do this season when Zeke was out?
So can I state this now? Now that you said that, right?
Okay.
You said how did he do when Zeke was out? The last time we saw Carson Wentz, right, without weapons. Because after his rookie year, everybody cried. Everybody said, yo, these guys can't get open. These guys ain't this. These guys ain't that. 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
He's a rookie.
Very pedestrian. I'll take that. Okay.
And they had the number two pick, which means their team was dreadful.
So hold on. We'll give them that, right? Now, since the Eagles went on a spending spree, you know, you bring in, you know what I'm saying, Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
You bring in Torrey Holtz. You go ahead. You got Doug Peterson, who anybody with the same mind is going to say, what, he's a top four NFL.
Now
but
they
not,
say
not,
it.
Not when they hired him.
When
look,
they
when
hired
him,
ESPN,
he's the worst,
he's
worst coach in the NFL.
Word. Listen, you don't belong in the.
Absolutely, right? But check this out. You go ahead. You bring
unless
in
unless you listen to Rob Motti on other shows.
Rob Motti's brilliant.
I wasn't saying that about Doug Peterson, but go ahead.
He's brilliant. He's brilliant. Rob Motti's brilliant.
But I wasn't running him out of town. Same way I didn't run out Charlie Manuel. I stood my ground.
So with that being said, you know, he's now surrounded around a great supporting cast, the same great supporting cast that rolled and went to the Super Bowl without trouble when Wentz went down, which tells you what? The team is really, really good. So therefore, if you have
they happen to have a backup quarterback who is right there Tom Brady-esque in Nick Foles. I'm just getting ridiculous right now. But he's got a statue. Nick Foles can do no wrong in the city of Philadelphia.
So if I ask you this, right? Now we got a former quarterback in here. Let's talk quarterback in there. If I'm a quarterback, would you rather have a great offensive line play, brilliant head coach who knows how to, you know, scheme his wide receivers open, also disguise the looks so that the defense can't understand how predictable the play calling is, right? And you also have a vast demographic of passing weapons out there rather than just saying, hey, we got a good running game. Cause see, even with the play action fake, somebody has to get open, you have to have time, and then somebody has to catch the ball, which is why Dallas had to make the panic move.
So you're not a Jason Garrett fan.
I will absolutely give you the
it's
truth
Super
is that.
Bowl bust for Garrett.
No doubt that the marriage of Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz, their philosophy is perfectly matched together. So 100%. I don't think, Carl, truly talking from a quarterback's perspective, you can have all the weapons that you want. When you drop back 60 times a game, the guys on the other side of the ball, really good as well. Cannot overestimate, the ability that play action puts on. In this league, the windows are so small.
I actually got to look at
those stats. A half a step makes all the difference in the world.
Agreed.
So I think, look, we're talking about, it's always these questions.
It's fun.
You're talking about
fun.
Two quarterbacks that have the potential to be phenomenal quarterbacks. I hope that Dak gets a different coach because I hope that he can get a coach that can actually utilize his abilities and talents to what they were designed to be.
So we can all agree on that.
I certainly agree with that.
Pass the call, man. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Thank you to all our listeners, our followers. Big thanks to our guest today, Carson Wentz, Pastor Carl Day. Thanks to our EVP, Business Operations and Production, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Borman for the excellent work he does on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does to make us present just a little bit better. Jim Henderson, thank you for all the work behind the scenes. Brett Kronberger, Ryan Lennox, thank you for producing the show. Thanks to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.